Jonah chapter 2, the very first verse. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, how did he get in the fish's belly? Well, number one, there's the downturn of disobedience. Back in chapter 1, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to a sinful Gentile city. It was the very capital city of the Assyrian kingdom. They were a wicked bunch. We knew that they slaughtered many, raped women. We know good and well that they mutilated their bodies. They filleted people's noses until they died. They would bury them in the sand and leave the head exposed and take the tongue and stake the tongue out so that they might be stung by a scorpion or just die of asphyxiation or dehydration. They were cruel people. And God called Jonah and said, I want you to go and preach the word to Nineveh. You can see that in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. But Jonah responded in disobedience. He resisted God's call and he ran the other way. Now I want you to notice the downturn of disobedience. When you run from God, down is your direction. The Bible says in verse number 3 of chapter 1 that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Do you see that? He's going down to the seaport of Joppa. Later on in that verse it says, he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. That's the second time he's went down. He's went down into the ship. And down in verse number 5 at the end of the verse, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He's now down, down, down. We know that a storm's going to arise and the sailors are eventually going to throw him overboard. What does he do? He goes down into the sea. But no worry, God has a fish prepared and the fish swallows him. And what does he do? He goes down in the belly of that fish. There's always a downturn to disobedience. It goes down, down, down. And I promise you, I have never known anyone who ran from God or tried to hinder God's work that their life ended up better for doing so. Every time they go down, down, down. When you hinder the work of God in your life and you resist and rebel, you will pay for what you do. Now in verse 4 of that first chapter, the Lord spoke to the wind and a great storm occurred and the wind obeyed. And later on, we'll see in verse number 17, God spoke to a whale about swallowing up Jonah, and the whale obeyed. The wind obeyed God, and the whale obeyed God. But when a wayward prophet was told to go preach to Nineveh, he disobeyed God. I want you to turn to Psalm 106. There's a verse of Scripture that's really bore down on me this week in Psalm 106. It's verse number 15 really grabs my attention. I believe it'll grab yours. If you're going to be disobedient to what God says do, and you want to go down, 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 you want to go your own way, look at Psalm 106, verse 15. The Scripture says, and he gave them their request. You want to disobey God? God says, go ahead. That's your will. It's what you want to do. Go ahead and do it. God ain't going to bless you for doing it, but go ahead and do it. So he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You see that? We must learn to obey God. God will allow you to make your own choice to hinder and resist and rebel, but leanness will come to your soul in your rebellion. So we see, how did he get in the fish's belly? It was because of the downturn of disobedience. Verse 17 of chapter 1, we see number 2, a direct determination. Now when Jonah was thrown overboard by the sailors on board that ship, do you think that caught God by surprise? Did he start twiddling his thumbs and say, well, now what will we do? Jonah's gone the other direction. I knew where he was on the boat there, but now they've thrown him overboard. And too late, what can I do? Let me tell you. Before Jonah ever decided to go to Joppa and pay the fare for that ship going the wrong way towards Tarshish, Before he ever got on board that boat and went down inside it, God had already prepared a fish. That fish didn't just arrive there right then. No, listen, born to its mama some years ago, God said, I've got a purpose for you, sir. You are going to swallow a backslid prophet, and you're going to house him for 3 days until I teach a few lessons in his life. The Bible tells us in verse 17 that the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, many people have a hard time believing this could be true, but I checked the book. God can still do anything. We remember what he did. He took his only begotten son and put him in the womb of a virgin. The Bible says in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The scripture says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Look with me in verse 17 again. The Lord prepared a great fish. Look at chapter 4 and in verse number 6. The Lord prepared a gourd. How many of you believe God could prepare a gourd? Amen. Look at verse 7 of that chapter. God prepared a worm. Do you believe God can prepare a worm? Look at verse 8. God prepared an east wind. If God can prepare a worm, if God can prepare a wind, if God can prepare a gourd, bless God, he can prepare a fish. Here's the thing. He prepared all those things that he might prepare a preacher. How long's God been working on Jonah? Hey, how long's he been working on you? Bless God to bring you where you are. Thank God for the grace of God that's come to us. It is God that's done all things, and he's the one that's prepared this great fish. I said earlier the story of Jonah is a story of the grace of God to sinners at Nineveh, but to the backslid saints like Jonah. And if God can reclaim a backslid saint like Jonah, what can he do for your backslid family member or your backslid self? He can still use you, I believe, if we just believe God. You may say, preacher, I have a hard time believing that Jonah was in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights. Well, Jesus said that he was. Jesus said that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. He said in Matthew 12, verse 39 and 40, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Friend, if it were not so, Jesus would have told us. Jesus even referenced. And Jesus is not a liar. Jesus said that Jonah was 3 days and three nights inside that fish, and I believe it. This fish was prepared and sent after Jonah. I guarantee you could probably look as Jonah was on board that ship going in the wrong direction. That fins was coming right behind him to get ready to swallow him up as soon as he was tossed out. Friend, even though Jonah was rebellious, even though Jonah was resistant, God has a personal escort waiting to bring him right back into the will of God. How many times has he done that for you? It might not have been a great fish, but it was some kind of a storm that God used in your life to get you, bless God, where you need to be. That's a direct determination sent by God to get you where he wants you to be. Number three tonight, I want you to see some desired deliverance. According to chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed. When did he pray? Evidently, after 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. I mean, bless God, he was so backslid that for 3 days and three nights, I don't even know if he even prayed. I think he just sat there and pouted. He's got to be a Baptist. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed. Then, after 3 days and three nights, then he prayed. A lot of Baptists, amen, after Sunday morning, Sunday night service, you won't talk to them for about 3 days. They're pouting and a sulking. But one thing I know for sure, that Jonah prayed out of the fish's belly. He was still in the whale's belly when he called on the Lord. You see that in verse number 1. And when he's praying to God there, He's desiring some deliverance. Have you ever went to God and said, "Oh God, let the pressure off. Let me loose, Lord. Help me out of the storm." Yeah, you got me. Amen. That's where Jonah was at. He was desiring deliverance. Number four. I want you to see in these next few verses the depths of his despair. And said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Here was a man, God's man, living below sea level in the belly of a fish. And I say living below sea level, we know that those whales can dive very, very deep. There's a lot of our so-called preachers nowadays that's living below the sin level, going into the depths of depravity, into the depths of despair. I wonder if Jonah felt like he had died a thousand deaths. He was living like a dead man in an unseen world. Now, some people was going to argue with me and say, "I think he did die." Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this, he prayed. Last time I checked, dead men ain't praying. Now, I know I was dead in trespasses and in sins and was able to pray only by the help of the Holy Ghost, amen. That's what got me there. But I cannot imagine the utter darkness of being inside that well. Can you imagine the stench of the digestive process running through this great fish? Can you imagine being buried alive and looking like you have no hope whatsoever to ever be released from that scenario? Doubt must have come to him and said, "Jonah, you went too far. Jonah, God has forgotten about you. And now you're in the belly of the whale and there's no getting out." But in the belly of that whale, he remembered God's word. That's why I think it's important that you take the word of God and hide it in your heart. Might come a point in time you won't be able to read it. Might come a point in time you're in such darkness and such a storm or laying flat on your back, you can't read the word of God anymore. It's important that you hide it in your heart. And Jonah had hid some things in his heart. Hey, Psalm 18 says in verse 6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." He said in Psalm 31:22, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee." I wonder if Jonah thought, bless God, if he could hear David's distress and some of these men of God that's gone in such terrible places. Then I believe with all my heart that God would hear my cry out of the belly of a fish. After all, he knew why he was there, because he was disobedient. I believe it was right there in Jonah's depths of despair that he had faith to call on God and believe that God would hear his voice. Look at verse 3 of Jonah chapter 2. He says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me." He said, "Thou hast cast me into the deep." Who threw Jonah into the depths of the sea? Last time I checked, in chapter 1 and verse number 15, the Bible tells us that the sailors took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. That's what the scripture says. But Jonah says, it's God that allowed that to happen. It's God that allowed those sailors to throw me overboard. It's just like it's God that threw me into the depths of the sea because of my sin. Jonah says it's God that's put me in this predicament. Now, friend, Jonah's learning something here. You may run away from God, but you will never get out of his hand. You'll never reach a place that he can't touch. You'll never reach a place that he's not. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus' words, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And you thought you was in good hands with Allstate. Jonah can run as much as he wants to run, be in the middle of a storm, be thrown into the depths of the sea, and be swallowed up by a great fish, but he could not get away from God. And I promise you, you'll not get away from him either. You may decide you're going to be rebellious. You may decide you're going to resist him, but friend, you can't get away from God. What about Joseph? You remember his story? Sold by his brothers into bondage and slavery down there in the land of Egypt. But one day God raised Joseph up to become the governor of all the land. And listen to what Joseph said. Genesis 45 verse 8. Says to his brothers, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." What about that? The hard times, he said, it was God that sent me hither. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler of all the land of Egypt. Go back with me to Jonah chapter 2. Look what he says in verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Now, friend, I believe Jonah is saying that the greatest pain in his life is not the calamity of being in the fish's belly. That'd be bad. Bad smells. I don't know if he can see much, but boy, it'd be an awful feeling to be buried alive. I could not imagine. But I think what he's trying to say is that's not the most horrible thing that happens to me. He said, it feels like I'm cast out of your sight. He said, my sin has separated between me and God. I don't have the fellowship I once had. Hey, Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me. Jonah lost his fellowship. Jonah lost his relationship, his closeness in his walk with the Lord. I didn't say he lost his salvation. I'm telling you, he lost his closeness. You remember what it's like? Used to be in church service and the breeze of God would blow through and it hit on your neck and run through your soul. Man, you'd praise God and have yourself a time. You remember what I was like when I first got saved? Well, what happened? If you've been walking with him, you ought to be closer to him now than you was when you first got saved. Somewhere along the way, if you've lost that, you've resisted God. You quit trusting him and quit walking by faith, and you started walking by sight. You walk by what Obama says and what the economy dictates to you and the price of gas at the pump. Well, that's because, preacher, I live in a world of reality. Well, let me tell you where I live. I live in a world of faith where Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his economy has never been this world's economy. God has been good to us tonight. And Jonah says, I feel like I've been cast out of your sight. He says in Isaiah chapter number 59 verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Jonah said, the worst thing that could have ever happened to me was I've lost my closeness, my fellowship with God. My ability to get on my knees and pray for a child that's sick. My ability to get on my knees and pray for a city that needs God. I've lost all that because I've decided to do things my way. I wanted to be hard-headed. I wanted to be stiff-necked. Friend, the scripture has pointed us that God will not hear. I believe, though, the only prayer God's going to hear from somebody in that place is a prayer of repentance. Lord, I want to confess to you, I've resisted your will. I've rebelled against your authority. And some of the people you've put in my life to be authority figures over me, I've even bucked on them. And I see now, God, you're going to chastise me for not being obedient where you told me to serve. And the only prayer he's going to hear from you is when you agree with him and say, God, I repent. I just want my relationship back with you. And when you pray that prayer, if you'll confess your sin, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I do believe that it was this separation from God that drove Jonah to the place of repentance, though he was in the belly of a fish. Friend, don't wait till you get in the fish's belly. You ought to just get right now. You ought not to even wait about it. So, boy, I tell you what, I remember when the Lord breathed on me. I remember how he used to bless. I ain't getting that no more from the preaching. I ain't getting that no more from the singing. They still singing. They still preachers preaching. Why ain't you getting it no more? Well, I'm just in a little dry spot. You ought to check up and see if you've resisted God somewhere. Jonah begins to give us some of the things, the calamity in his life. Verse number 5. He says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. Now, he's felt these waters inside the fish, knee deep, chest deep. You know, this fish is swimming. He's got an intake of water. Can you imagine with every gulp of water that the fish took, Jonah thinks he's going to drown. He's arising up and going back down. He's arising up. That's the way your life is, ain't it? Rising up and going back down. And this whole time you thought you was sailing life's stormy sea, you was inside the belly of a whale because you resisted God. He says that the depth closed me round about and the weeds were wrapped around my head. He's living in utter darkness. He can't even see what's around him, and he's got seaweed wrapped all around his head. He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Can you imagine the pressure? You talk about these divers. They dive so deep, and there's pressures that come to them. Their body just wants to succumb to the pressure. Can you imagine Jonah being a man of flesh like you and I are as this great fish went deep to the bottoms of the ocean, 2 and 3 miles deep maybe? Can you imagine the pressures that came to his body? He had been squashed just like, oh Lord God, I hope he goes back towards the top a little bit and let this pressure off of me. He's living far below sea level. He says the earth and her bars was about me forever. He said, I feel like I'm in a prison here and I can't get out. Preacher, I just can't imagine. How can a man live inside of a fish? God did it. I ain't got to explain it. God did it. And he's able, amen, to sustain him alive even though he's in a terrible fix. Why in the world have you not been consumed? Look at the way you've been living. Look at the way you've been acting. Look at the things you've said. Why, it's of the Lord's mercies you're not consumed. When I look at you, you're just as big a miracle to me. How in the world have you made it as long as you have? It's the mercy of God. God's been long-suffering with us. He says, her bars was about me forever, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. In the midst of calamity, in the middle of separation from God, Jonah remembered the Lord, and he called on his holy name in the depths of despair. Friend, I'm telling you, you've not gone too far. You've not dipped too far below sin level for you to still call on him. Hey, there's nobody gone too far that the Lord's ear can't hear you and his hand can't reach, hallelujah, to raise you up out of the calamity and the depths of despair that have you now. Verses 8 and 9, we see fifthly some diligent declarations. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What does that mean? Jonah realized that resisting God, running from him, was nothing more than lying to himself and was causing him to forsake the mercy of God. You understand something about rebellion? Rebellion is like idolatry. Rebellion is where you think your will is better than God's will. Rebellion's where you think your ideas are better than what he has planned for you. God says do this, and you said, no, I'm going to do that. That's idolatry. In it, you've idolized yourself over God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23, this is the words that Samuel the prophet preached to Saul. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Do you see that? What is rebellion? Rebellion to the will of God, to the hand of God, is like witchcraft. God's man Samuel said rebellion's like witchcraft. You know what he said in Exodus chapter 22? Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. If you've bucked on God and you've resisted him and you've got stubborn about a few things, and you may say, well, that's all right. I'm a Baptist and I'm a church member and I'm going to stub up. Amen. God has every right to kill you. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And if rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, what he's trying to say is you ought not to let a rebel to live. Jonah is deserving to die. And he says over here in Jonah chapter 2, down there in verse number 8, he said that they that observe lying vanities, he said, my stubbornness and my resistance, my rebellion is a lying vanity. I ain't lied to nobody but me. You ain't lying to nobody but to yourself. Lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He realizes, I've forsaken the mercy of God. That's why I'm in the fish's belly. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. He deserved to die. Maybe he should have drowned. But the mercy of God was extended, was it not? And Jonah humbly repents of his rebellion. He humbly repents of his running away. And he turns to God with the sacrifice of repentance. And he's having thanksgiving. Boy, I ought to preach on this about November. Having thanksgiving below sea level. He had thanksgiving in the belly of the fish. Every breath, he said, thank God I ain't dead yet. I deserve to drown, but thank God I'm still alive. Amen? He's having thanksgiving below sea level. And he says, I will pay that I have vowed. What he's trying to say is, I'm going to do whatever God told me to do. When I run up the white flag in my life, when God called me, be a prophet and be his man, and I said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you say do. And now I've got stubborn and resisted God. I'm not going to do it anymore. Lord, here's the white flag again. I'm running up the white flag. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. Amen. I'll bow down wherever you want me to bow down. I'll submit myself wherever you want me to submit. I surrender to whoever you want me to surrender to, Lord. I'm just going to do what you called me to do. Amen. That's a diligent declaration. Then he makes this statement. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah learned something. Salvation is not about being a Hebrew. It's not about your race. Salvation is not about being a Jew. Not about your religion. Mm-hmm. Jesus got me before the Baptist did. Amen? Salvation don't have anything to do with man at all. All we do is do the sinning. The Lord does the catching and the cleaning, amen. Salvation is of the Lord. Boy, that was a great declaration right there. He's learned a great lesson. Be good if some of us could learn that. Without him, we could do nothing at all. Number 6, we see divine deliverance, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Divine deliverance. When Jonah prayed, the Lord spoke to the fish. Now the fish is still under the authority of God. God told the fish to swallow the man, and he did. And now he tells the fish, time to spit up the man, and he does. The fish is obedient. By the grace of God, the fish vomited Jonah out on dry land. He did not vomit him out in the middle of the ocean. He swam right up to dry land, somehow I believe, that fish the whole time was headed towards Nineveh. Jonah was going the other way, got thrown in the ocean. The fish got a hold of him, swallowed him up, and God turned that fish around and said, you head towards Nineveh. We're going to put the pressure on him. He's going to get right. And I believe he ended up closer to Nineveh than he was to start with. And he got on dry land, he went, blah. Jonah got out smelling like whale puke and said, hallelujah. Amen? Salvation is of the Lord. By the grace of God, Jonah's ready to walk on new ground. I've surrendered to the Lord. And it's still a long ways to Nineveh. But bless God, I'm not going to turn around again. I'm going where God said go. Amen. Thus, divine deliverance came after repentance. You want help from God? You want relief to the pressure you're under? Everything falling apart in your life? You've been whipped here, whipped there? You're too stubborn to even admit it. It's you're getting whipped. But God said, you want relief? Or you want me to lay another lick on you? Listen, friend, you're not going to win this. I don't care how long you can hold your breath. He'll outweight you. Now, last of all, distributing doctrine. He's got to walk towards Nineveh, and he's going to have to preach to them, that wicked city. Boy, he's got a real message, don't he, about the judgment of God? But he's also got another message that says, salvation is of the Lord. Boy, that'll preach, won't it? Got to thinking about that, salvation being of the Lord. You know what the book of Hebrews says, chapter number 2, verse number 3? Says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Friend, there's too much salvation for us to neglect. And I got thinking about it. Here in Jonah, when Jonah got down that well and he said, Lord, I repent. Salvation is of the Lord. I think the whale said, ugh, I don't like that praying business. And it got to be too much salvation for the whale. Ugh. He regurgitated the man of God. It was too much salvation for a whale. Let's go on with that thought. In the book of John chapter 4, there was a woman. She came down to the well. Jesus was sitting there. She had brought her water pot. She had been to that well before. She had to go back and forth every single day of her life. The well could never satisfy her. But when she met Jesus, amen, he quenched her thirst and saved her soul. And guess what, amen? Jesus was too much salvation for the whale. Too much salvation for a whale. Too much salvation for the whale. You remember when Jesus died on the cross? There was a great veil there inside the Holy of Holies. Separated man from God. And they could not have fellowship. But when Jesus hung on the cross and died and said, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The Bible says the veil of the temple was torn in twain from the top to the bottom. Somebody says, well, there was a great earthquake. But if the earthquake had done it, it would have ripped from the bottom to the top. It started at the top and ripped to the bottom. It's what God did for man. Hey, Jesus on the cross is too much salvation for the veil. We can go on with this thought, amen. What about Paul and Silas? Locked up there in the midnight hour. They had been beaten and bruised and bloodied, left for dead in a prison. And about the midnight hour, they started singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I'm telling you what, all of a sudden, a great earthquake came there. And guess what? When they started praising God, it was too much salvation for the jail. And all the prison doors opened up, and the prison keeper came in and fell down and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. What about Jesus hanging on a cross? They nailed him there. He gave his life. They took him down. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is too much salvation for a nail. The nails of death could not hold him, because up on the first day of the week, from the grave he arose, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Salvation is of the Lord. There's too much salvation for the whale, too much salvation for the whale, too much salvation for a veil, too much salvation for the jail, too much salvation for the nail. Hey, what about Peter and John? You remember they were locked up for preaching the word of God, and they told them, don't you ever go and talk about this man named Jesus again. They tried to get him to compromise or to sell out. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They said, we ain't going to sell out. We're just going to keep on preaching. Let me say to you tonight, amen, he's too much salvation for us to sell.
That's no sellout, amen. Last of all, it's too much salvation for us not to tell. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We ought to leave this building and go tell somebody, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah had a message to preach, didn't he? Yet God called him to Nineveh and said, go preach. And God gave him a message to preach. You got one too. God told you to go throughout the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're commanded to do. You want him to talk to your neighbor. God says, go over there and talk to him. Well, Lord, they're mowing right now. Another lawnmower cuts off and you went, ooh, Lord, I can't go over there now. I'm a little hungry, think I need a cheese sandwich. Let me tell you something, amen. You need to learn to get obedient to God. Quit resisting him. Quit rebelling on him, amen, and just do what God says do and leave the results up to him.